in the book of Revelation chapter 21, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now let me tell you something this morning. Listen, I'm going to read another verse in just a minute, but there's only two kinds of people in the world: those that are his people and those that are not his people. Jesus is coming. Those that are his people are going to leave and go be with him. Those that are not his people are going to be in trouble. This world is going to be in trouble. The Bible said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." God being my helper this morning, I want to preach on this subject in a place called heaven: the former things are passed away. And I want to give you a thought this morning I believe to be a blessing. Father, thank you for the good word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the good songs of Zion. Thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray this morning that we would determine right now as your people, right now, not later in the service, but right now, God, I want you to lead me by the heart. I want you to get a hold of my heart. I pray, Lord, for that one that's lost. Lord, I know there are lost people among us, not because I'm their judge, but because they've told me, because they've raised their hand and said, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost." Now, Lord, there may be others that I don't know about that are lost, but God, you know everything. And I pray this morning that your people would be obedient, that sinner that's nearest that awful place called hell would decide today, as the Spirit of God fingers around their heart, that Jesus is the answer. That they need to be forgiven. They need to be pardoned. They need that guilt taken away, that shame. God, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In a place called heaven, let me give you several things real quickly. Number one, no one is hungry in a place called heaven. I didn't know this, but I did a little bit of research. And we, as in America, are the world's greatest food-producing nation. And figures I'm going to give you, statistics come from 2016. 41 million people struggle with hunger in the United States, including 13 million children. In 2015, 5.4 million seniors struggled to afford enough to eat. I'm nobody. But every once in a while, and I really didn't know why God would lead me to pray, but every once in a while when I'd be asking the blessing over the food, I'll say something like this. I didn't know these figures. I'll say, "God, in a world where so many have nothing to eat, thank you for what you've given us." I'm going to tell you something this morning. I believe it changed the way we look at our food if we realize there's 13 million kids, not in the world, in America this morning, that don't know where breakfast is coming from, don't know where lunch is coming from. You say, "What's that got to do with heaven?" Here's what God put in my heart. I'm headed to a place where nobody will be hungry. I said, I'm headed to a place, beloved, listen, where no one will be hungry. I thank God for that. Secondly, I'm headed to a place where no one is hurting. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I texted a man yesterday that recently had a knee replaced. The last time I talked to him, he was doing real good. Yesterday, by his response in his text message, I could tell he wasn't doing well. Not doing well at all. He's suffering from pain. I want to know this morning, listen, we're not asking for a show of hands, but what would it be like to have a service like this and not have any pain to deal with in the service? Let me tell you something right now. The church would be a whole lot fuller this morning if there weren't people at home that are suffering with pain this morning. I'm telling you this morning, I'm headed to a place called heaven. And the Word of God tells us not only is there going to be no more hunger, but there's going to be no more hurting in that place called heaven. Listen, Jesus hurt that day on that old rugged cross so you and I could have a home in heaven and never hurt again. I thank God I'm going to a place where there's no arthritis, where there are no broken bones, where there's no back surgery needed, amen, where there's no brain tumors. I thank God I'm going to a place where there's no more hurting, amen, because it's a place called heaven. Let me give you this. I'm going to a place where no one's hungry. I'm going to a place where no one is hurting. Some are hurting physically this morning. Let me give you this. Some are hurting emotionally this morning. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something as a pastor. It's easier to hurt physically than it is emotionally. I'm telling you, in the ministry of 30 years, I've laid awake all night at sometimes, tears running down my cheeks because of the hurt. And beloved, listen, the hurt didn't come from a bar room. The hurt didn't come from the sinner people in the world, amen. Who knows what I'm talking about? And I'm headed to a place called heaven where we'll never hurt again, physically or spiritually or emotionally again. Children today, lie to the parents. Parents today, lie to the children. Listen to me today. I'm talking about, beloved, listen, a place where there's no more hurting. Where our hearts, someone said one time, those little kids that you have, the children today, they're stepping on your toes. But if you're not careful tomorrow, they'll be stepping on your heart. Yeah. Beloved, listen. If you've raised children and never had to endure that, you ought to shout glory this morning. Because there's a lot of people, beloved, that's endured a lot of pain, a lot of hurting. But in heaven, there's no more pain, no more hurting. No one is hurting in that wonderful place called heaven. In heaven, no one is helpless. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, that's just what God brought back to my mind. Brother Brian and I would be sitting in a waiting room. Sometimes I'd be pushing a wheelchair, MD Anderson. Someone had just come out of the doctor's office. Someone had just had a consultation meeting. And they were weeping, Brother Preston, uncontrollably. They had just got news, without a doubt, we can't help you. Your situation is helpless. But aren't you glad, thank God, we're headed to a place where no one is helpless, amen. No one gets that kind of news again, amen, because Jesus will be the helper there. Beloved, listen, folks are weeping down here. But let me tell you, for the children of God, weeping endures for a night. But joy's coming in the morning. Hallelujah, for a place called heaven. No one's hungry, no one's hurting, no one's helpless, but then no one is hopeless. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Many times, beloved, listen to me carefully. Not always, but many times in this world, the reason that young people are rolling up their sleeves, the reason that the bars are full on Saturday night, the reason that there's so much illicit behavior in the world is because there are people in the world without God and without hope. But thank God in heaven there's hope, amen. And no one is hopeless in that place called heaven. I looked up a couple verses of scripture. Job 7:6 said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You don't believe that? Hang around a little while, honey. I'm telling you, life is but a vapor. We're here for a little while, then we vanish away. The Bible said here, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Jeremiah 18, verse 12 said, and they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. You say, preacher, that Bible was written way back then. Yeah, and it's still the same. Beloved, there's a world full of people without hope. Let me tell you something. If we're heaven bound with the hammer down, thank God we are. If we're children of God, there ought to be a joy about us that ought to cause somebody that has no hope to say, what do you have that I don't have? We ought to be a reflection of home. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. Ephesians 2:12 said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me tell you something. We'd have revival if we just remember where we were when he found us, how that we were without God. We were without hope. We were not heaven bound, but we were hell bound sinners. The Savior of the world come along and picked us up out of the muck and picked us up out of the mire and put us on a solid rock and put a new song in our heart. Even praise unto our God. Yet so many of God's people, Brother John, you hit the nail on the head this morning. Their harps are hung on the willow. And I tell you why, because they found something they'd rather play with than the harp of God. Our lives ought to be making music to our Maker. Our lives ought to be a sweet savor to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We buried Mom. We buried Dad. Time after time, people would say something like this. And I'm not boasting except in Jesus. They'd say this to me. Say it to one of my brothers. Say it to one of my sisters. Say it, Eddie, to you, our brother-in-law. They'd say, y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. I'm going to tell you, there's a part of us that hurts when our loved ones leave here. But thank God Almighty, we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. We have the blessed hope that Jesus will come and there'll be a reunion of the people of God in that place called heaven. Beloved friend, in a place called heaven, no one is hungry, no one is hurting, no one is helpless, and no one is hopeless. You know, I thought about this, and I'll just give you this. Mary and Martha were weeping. Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. They said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you another word for Jesus, hope. Hope showed up that day. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Here he come. He didn't stink. You say, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Oh, it does with me. Because one of these days, if Jesus don't come first, they're going to lay this old carcass down in the ground somewhere. And he's going to step out on a cloud. And he ain't going to say, Lazarus. He's going to say, church, come forth. Amen. And every child of God will raise. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the cloud, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, beloved friend, no one is hopeless. The fifth thing I'll give you this, give you three more things, and I'm done. In a place called heaven, the former things are passed away. No one's hungry, no one's hurting, no one is helpless, no one is hopeless. But in a place called heaven, everyone is holy. I'm going to say something to you. Listen to me carefully. If you're not striving for that now, what would make you think you would enjoy heaven? Because in heaven, beloved, everyone is going to be holy. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, several different ways. The one way is, the Bible said in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Honey, in a place called heaven, everybody is holy. You say, why? Because everybody's like Jesus. Everybody's like Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He is born holy, lived holy, died holy, rose again holy. And he's coming back holy for a holy people. Holiness unto the Lord, the Bible said. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. Holiness is not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. The Word of God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I believe with all of my heart that if we're looking forward to heaven, Brother Mitchell, I think, said something like this. No, we're not perfect. No, we're not perfectly holy, but we ought to be striving to be. And I believe that's the truth. Be careful to maintain good works. Be careful with our testimony. Be careful in our lives. In heaven, everyone is holy. Let me give you this. In heaven, everyone's happy. The Word of God uses the word blessed over and over and over. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man whom the Lord doth not impute sin. It uses that word blessed over and over and over. What does it mean? It means happy. Oh, how happy. I'm going to tell you something right now. In heaven, everybody's happy. I like that song, Brother Ralph. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. There's no frowns, amen. There's no sad faces. There's no tears because God has wiped them all away, amen. Everybody will be happy. You say, preacher, what's there to be happy about? Well, we'll be happy because we're there with Jesus, be around the throne of God. We'll be able to worship him and thank him and praise him. We'll also be happy because there's no more hospitals. We'll also be happy because there's no more nursing homes. We'll also be happy because there's no more misunderstandings up there. We'll also be happy because there's no more pain. We'll be happy because there's no more death. And we're going to be happy to see our loved ones. My Uncle Bill, at 4 years old, his limbs began to curl in and they knew something was wrong. And by the time he was 18 years old, from the time he was 4 to 5 years old, he had to be diapered, he had to be clothed in the bed, he had to be fed, he couldn't do anything for himself. A lot of people would have turned Brother Uncle Bill out to pasture, but not my granny, not my grandpa. That was their baby. And I tell you, Uncle Bill, at age 18, he died. I can remember going in there on vacation, and I can remember walking in the room with Dad, and Uncle Bill would start hollering, Dune. He couldn't talk, but he knew my dad. They nicknamed my dad Junior, and some called him June. He'd say, Dune, Dune. Now, he had somewhere, Brother Thurman, some precious memories with my dad in his life. Amen. But I tell you, whoo, when Daddy got home here a little while back, Uncle Bill, I tell you, he hollered Dune in a lot more perfect way. Say amen. There was a reunion around the throne of God. I believe with all of my heart, everybody will be happy when they get home to that place called heaven. If you all notice, there's times when I stand here and I see God working in somebody's heart. And there's a sadness, Brother Lowell, in my heart when I see them refuse to obey the Lord. But oh, there's a gladness when they step out in that aisle and they start down. Oh, say they come into the church. No, no, no. If they're getting any help, they're not coming to the church. They're not coming to the preacher. They're coming to Jesus. I'm glad to be around a church where our singing lifts up Jesus. I'm glad to be around a church where you don't have to have it written on the wall, some screen, what the words are so you can understand them. Lady told me the other day, she went to a conference, and I'm not going to say what church. That's not what it's all about. But she went to a conference and said they brought this worship leader up. And she said, honestly, I would not have been able to understand what they were singing if they didn't put the words down at the bottom. I tell you, beloved, listen, I'll stand in judgment day and say it's an abomination in the sight of God. They call it Christian rock. If you can have Christian rock, you can have a godly devil. Amen. Yeah. You can't have a godly devil. Our churches, beloved, are falling for that stuff. Hook, line, and sinker. You know why? They say it makes people happy. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, there's something different between making the flesh happy and getting happy in Jesus. We can do a lot of things around here, make the flesh happy. I hope and pray to God, God will give us a church that will always grieve the flesh. That's our hope. People ain't going to get saved because their flesh is happy. They're going to get saved when they figure out how rotten their flesh is. And by the way, beloved, just because you got saved, it's still rotten. Paul said we have no confidence in the flesh. Beloved, listen, everyone's happy in that place called heaven. I read this morning. I thought this would go good with the message. A widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson, he died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to a cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day while he was working in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. His pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and said, "Uncle Johnson, you seem to be very happy today." "Yes," he said, "I was just thinking." "Thinking about what?" the pastor said. "Oh," he said, "I was just thinking, if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf in glory be like?" "I tell you, sir, there'll be enough for everyone and some to spare up there." There was a man that said, "Boy, if the crumbs are this good, what's it going to be like when we have access to the loaf?" Amen. The lady in the Bible, she said that to Jesus. She said, "Truth, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table." I'm going to tell you something this morning. You may not believe it, but crumbs are more than you and I deserve. I thank God when he lets a crumb fall in my lap. I thank God for the crumbs from the master's table. I'd like to see Nancy Pelosi get a hold of one of them crumbs. Amen. That changed the way she thinks about things. Amen. That's free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. Amen. And I'll give you this and I'm done. In heaven, not only no one is hungry and no one's hurting, no one's helpless, no one's hopeless, everyone's holy, everyone's happy. And I'm going to give you something that I believe we ought to strive for. In heaven, everyone's humble. I'm telling you, early this morning, God squeezed my heart and he let me know there ain't nobody going to be strutting around in heaven saying, "Look at me. Look what I've done." In heaven, everyone's going to be humble. I tell you what we'll be doing. We'll be saying things like this. "Would you look at him?" We'll be saying things like this. "Can you believe how wonderful this is?" Joe, you'll say something to me like, "Preacher, I sung about it for years, but this is better than I could have ever imagined." Are you listening to me this morning? We're going to be humble. We might say something, Brother Gary. I might say, "Brother Gary, you and I both know we don't deserve this. Ain't this wonderful? Ain't it wonderful to be home with Jesus?" We're going to be humble. We won't be strutting around like a peacock. We'll be a humble people. We'll be saying, "What a Savior." We'll be there where no one is hurting. We'll be there where no one's dying. We'll be there where all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Brother Lance, I may walk up to you. I may say something like this, boy, ain't it good not to have that stinking flesh to fight anymore. I might say something like this. You know, in heaven, there's no more time. But I might walk up, Brother Rose, and say, boy, ain't it good to be here all this time. Whatever it is. And you know, I ain't had one evil thought since I've been here. Ain't that wonderful? I can't even remember what it was like to be a sinner. There's a falsehood being taught today, and that is that you don't reap what you sow. I'm going to tell you something. Young people, teenagers especially, young moms and dads, you listen to me. Listen to me well. Beloved, you can get saved and God will forgive your sin. But I'm going to tell you, sin has scars and consequences. It'll follow you all the way to your grave. You ought to live a holy life. You ought to live for the Lord. Beloved, everyone is humble in that place called heaven. Many years ago, a Christian professor's name was Stuart Blackie. I'm talking about being humble now, and I'm done. He was a professor at the University of Edinburgh, and he was listening to his students as they presented oral readings. When one young man rose to begin his recitation, he held his book in the wrong hand. The professor thundered, "Take your book in your right hand and be seated." At this harsh rebuke, the student held up his right arm. When he did, there was no hand. There was just a stub. The other students shifted uneasily in their chairs, and for a moment the professor hesitated. Then he made his way to the student and he put his arm around him with tears streaming down his face. He said, "I never knew about it." He said, "Please, will you forgive me?" His humble apology made a lasting impact on that young man. This story was told sometime later in a large gathering of believers. At the close of the meeting, a man came forward. He turned to the crowd, raised his right arm. It ended at the wrist. And he said, "I was that student. Professor Blackie led me to Christ. But he never could have done it had he not been willing to make that wrong right." I want to say this morning in closing. As much as possible in this world, every child of God should humble themselves and make whatever wrong they can right. Think of it. In heaven, every wrong will be made perfectly right. We will be perfectly humble then. But I believe we ought to practice on the way. Some of the hardest words in this world to say are, "I'm sorry." In a joking manner, a man said to me one time, he said, "I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken." I believe that the Bible teaches for you and I not to get in an altar and ask God to humble us. I believe that's dangerous. But I believe the Bible teaches that we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. When we do that, God will exalt us. He'll lift us up. He'll let us make a difference in somebody else's life. I've obeyed God this morning in a place called heaven. That's where I'm headed. He said, "Preacher, I don't know why you do what you do. I don't know why the church does what it does." Well, to wrap it up in just a couple of little things. Number one, Jesus told us to. It's always best to do what Jesus tells you to. But number two, we want you to go with us. Amen, Brother Kenny. We're going to take them vans and go get them children. Maybe one of them will be standing in a pulpit one day thundering the gospel message. We never know. But we want them to go with us, don't we? We want them to go with us. If you're here today and lost, I hope that I've presented heaven in such a way that you'd want to go with me. Religion can't take you there. Only a relationship with Jesus. You must be born again. You can't trust the pastor and get to heaven. You got to trust Jesus. You can't just get your name on a church roll and go to heaven. You got to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Spirit of God will seal it there when you trust Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.